Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
One thing, though, that I will say, we mentioned this earlier, we had Larry Fitzgerald in studio, in case you missed it, check it out on the free Odyssey app, where, we were talking about wide receivers and Malik Nabers, obviously. That is, we'll get more into the Giants as the week goes on. It sucks that we didn't get enough time to talk about them today, but it is what it is with the Mets. Like, that takes precedent here. All for that energy and that win, though, you like to talk more about it. But even within that energy and that win, that's like a Jet-like thing, but that's exactly what the Nabers injury to me felt like. Where even with the most exciting game and performance that you've had in years, with that comes a devastating... This isn't like he banged up his knee. He's going to be back in 4 or 5 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
An ACL? What? Like, that's the... Outside of an injury to Jackson Dart himself, that's the worst thing possible for a Giant fan.
It's absolute devastation. That's the word that I was going to use as well. Excuse me. You knew it right away. You knew it right away with the non-contact. It's terrible. And the Giants' defense looked great. The pass rush was phenomenal.
Yeah.
The energy was just the juice in the building. It was so good to see. Yeah, I mean, there's no doubt that you're going to lose some of this. I mean, and it's not like it's a month. You know, now you're going to try to get the best evaluation of Jackson Dart without one of the most dynamic receivers in football. It's a very different
which is equation. Fine. And by the way, maybe it benefits him where it's not just about force-feeding Nabers. Like, obviously, this is not... I shouldn't say benefit. That's not the right way. But a different type of evaluation. Okay, well, we know that he's going to eventually have a legitimate number one wide receiver. I want to see what he could do without just force-feeding the ball to Nabers. And yesterday, really, even before the injury, it wasn't all just about feed Nabers. He was making terrific plays on his own anyway. So I think the excitement was so great, and Dart was such a jolt of energy, and the defense, like you said, played well. I felt that that would be the case against the Chargers yesterday. They came out, hey, look, Abdul Carter playing him on the edge. Wow. What a shock. Like, I mean, come on, Giants. Please, stick to it. I don't care who's injured. He's an edge rusher. Leave him on the edge. Stop playing him inside. It's just stupid. So the Giants actually figured it out. So the defense looked pretty good. Dart was exciting. It just sucks to have any kind of black cloud over that type of win, period. And with Nabers, it's bad. But I feel like the energy in Dart is so over the top in the positive way that even a significant blow like this is not going to supersede that.
Well, for now, it won't. I would agree with that. But, you know, as we get into the Saints and we get deeper into the schedule, if the Giants' offense is if it becomes pedestrian, then we will remember, it's been a little bit different with Nabers here. And it's going to obviously impact how we view them. Not necessarily what we think Dart is or what he can or can't be. But, yeah, I mean, Jackson Dart was really, like, infectious energy, which is great. Now, throwing the ball, was he amazing? No, he was good throwing the ball, and then he was very athletic, which we knew. And, again, good leadership, good presence, all those things. But there's a lot of football that is now going to be played without Malik Nabers. So I don't think it's tempered today because it just happened with Dart yesterday. But I think the more we see the Giants without Nabers, the more the reality kicks in that the offense probably going to be not nearly what it could have been with them.
WFAN NFL football is powered by Verizon. Get to your local Verizon store today. Let's get back to the calls on the Mets and maybe some Giants. John is in Dallas. What's up, John?
Hey, guys. Very interesting day yesterday, I got to say. As a Giants fan, I'm happy they won. It was weird because, you know, the wins don't come much, so Nabers getting hurt, you know, it was very strange. But with the Mets, I'm sitting there watching the game on my phone as I'm watching the Giants. And it was kind of expected, you know, to lose 4-0 and to not have any kind of, like, you know, it didn't seem like they cared. And that was the impression I got this last month, was it didn't seem like they cared, which I know is not the case. You know, they care. But as a fan, I'm sitting back and watching this, and I'm not surprised the way everything happened. I mean, go throughout the season.
You shouldn't be
surprised.
Runners
in scoring position.
You can't be surprised. Mm-hmm. You know, it's weird, John, because you and BT have said similar where they don't care. And I know you're both not saying that you literally don't think that they care. The way that maybe I would describe it is a team that is just not able to handle that pressure. And instead of playing loose and free and having fun, they tighten up. And there could be reports that say otherwise. I'm watching with my own eyes. They tighten up and play like they're a team that is trying not to lose the wild card spot as a team that is going out there to try to get it the way that they did a year ago. It's a big difference from not caring. That's the way that I would look at this team and say, I think that they care. Do they care as much as fans? Probably not. But whatever, that's every team.
Here's the thing. I don't feel as bad as I, you know, going forward. The thing about Stearns, you know, he's a team builder. That was his history with Milwaukee. And so, you know, it's going to take a few years to see how you know, with drafting and, you know, developing players, how that works. I think there's a few things about this year that they're, you know, get me is that, you know, some of the younger guys did not step up. I think Alvarez is a keeper. Okay. I think he's a quality catcher and he just gets hurt a lot, which I wish was not the case.
Yeah. By the way, I'd like to see Alvarez in better shape.
Well, I won't disagree with you there, but you know, Vientos stepped back this year.
Yep.
You know, Mauricio played twice over the last month.
Step back for Vientos is an understatement. Vientos looked like we thought he was going to look before he had the year last year. He looked like a minor leaguer. He was overmatched offensively and couldn't. He doesn't have a position defensively.
Well,
that was bad.
The other thing is two more things. One, well, was there a guy who was slamming the bat into the cooler saying, "Come on, guys, let's get this together"? And I expected Pete Alonso to be that guy. Okay, and that didn't happen. And the other thing that between this year and last year is, the guy at the top, he was the one that was leading that team offensively, and that didn't happen this year. Had Lindor played a little better, they'd probably be in the playoffs.
Yeah,
because everyone sees that.
Lindor to me, John, and thank you for the call.
Thanks, John.
You could look at the numbers. Hey, look, you could look at the numbers for all four of their big guys and say, well, they all had great seasons. But if you watch them every day, including Soto, who you know I love Soto, he did not have... it's hard to say he didn't have a great season because statistically he had an all-time season, especially for the Mets. However, in April or May, it wasn't there. And a lot of the big moments, he did have moments, and it's not that he can't hit in the clutch, but a lot of the big moments, he didn't come through in. And Lindor, same thing, not about the big moments, but Lindor, up and down, maddening inconsistencies with Francisco Lindor's season. And I didn't like the whole energy around Lindor this year. Nimmo, same thing. Like, why wasn't Nimmo an all-star? If Nimmo put up career numbers and he's supposed to be an all-star and he's getting paid to be one, why wasn't he an all-star? Is it because you and I didn't vote him in? No, it was because he didn't do enough to be an all-star. And Alonso was the one I'd leave alone because he was pretty consistent.
He's earned that. He's earned that reprieve. He earns that respect.
This year, yeah.
Yeah, no, for sure. Listen, there's also something to be said for playing with expectation versus playing without it. You know, when you kind of come out of nowhere like the Mets did last year, there was this great energy. It was organic, and it was just, you play with a freedom. You do. And, you know, now all of a sudden, you know, the owner tells the fans, hey, you better come out. And the fans did. But you better come out like, hey, listen, let's go. And Soto's here. And there's some more high-profile games, whether it's Apple, whatever it might be. The Mets are more of a national team. More people, when the Mets show up in town to play other teams because of Soto, there's more, you know, maybe 2,000-3,000 more visiting fans to come out to watch the Mets because it's a little bit of more of a rock star kind of a band rather than a bunch of guys just playing, vibing and playing well. And they didn't handle that well. They did not. They looked tight, and instead of playing freely like they did in 2024, they looked like they played mentally handcuffed this year.
Well,
and really with Lindor defensively, that's where I think it really showed the most.
Yeah, I don't know if that was a physical or mental thing with Lindor as far as the defense goes, but that's my issue, is that they looked like a team that was playing under the new expectation and pressure, and they couldn't handle it. Taco Frank calling from Hamilton, New Jersey. What's up, Taco?
Franco!
What's up, gentlemen? BT, what a beautiful morning and afternoon. Yeah, you wake up this morning knowing that we're getting ready for playoff baseball. BT, I hope you are enjoying every second of sitting next to him today, man. You put up with months of the Soto and all the taunts, man.
Yeah.
I felt so good for you yesterday, bro.
Well, I felt pretty good, too. We'll worry about Garrett Crochet tomorrow night. But, I mean, Sal does his thing, and I do my thing, and... You know, listen, the easy thing to do would be to jump on now, like I think you're about to do, Taco Frank, but
he's
had a rough go. I'm going to let him off the hook a little bit with this.
Well, here I'll leave you with this, man, because this sums it up to me. But I called around opening day and about how, you know, we didn't bow to Soto's demands, and Sal rudely cut me off and started yelling at me in a way that only Sal can do. He's yelling, "Give him the sweet! Give him the sweet!" for the first time, Sal, I agree with you, and I hope Hal calls and gives him the sweet so he can watch some playoff baseball, baby!
Taco coming in the side door.
See, there are
That's
two.
Buddy, too.
There are, and I love Taco Frank. I'm not sure if he's going to be a Phillies fan or a Yankees fan. Whoever is out first, then Taco will follow the rest. He loves going to the Phillies. Taco Frank's typical front runner. He'll jump on. Yankees are in the playoffs? All right, ride the Yankees. Oh, they're out? Okay, let me ride the Phillies. Let's go Phillies. So he's all over the place with that stuff. But the Soto argument to me is one that you and I have had many times. That is done and over with. Like, the Mets won the offseason as far as getting Juan Soto from the Yankees. Now, you could say, and I would say at this particular point, I think the Yankees were better off without Juan Soto, at least to date.
Yep.
Where you look at where they've spent their money in a different ball club. We'll see what happens in the postseason. But they pivoted to their plan B, which means they wanted Soto. They missed out, and maybe they were better off for it. Sometimes the best decisions are the ones that aren't made for you. And the Mets also, to me, made the right decision. Like, I would not give that back. They needed a star. There's a big difference with where the Yankees were at with Judge, not to mention the others, and where the Mets were at. The Mets did a mega star like the Yankees had with Aaron Judge. They needed their version of that mega star. They just didn't have
it. But let me ask you a question. This goes back, not to pile on Lindor. If Lindor was the mega star that everybody told me that he was, then why would they need Soto the way you tell me that they did?
Well, who cares what anybody says? Do you think Lindor's a mega?
No, I've never thought that. I did with the Guardians.
Now he'll put up great numbers.
I think he's good. And
for a shortstop, I don't even think he was with the Guardians. Like, he may have been a better player. I'm not saying he's a mega. Like, there are a handful of players, maybe not even a handful, that have the star power of Juan Soto. He's as big a star as there is in the sport. Not the best player, but it's Otani, it's Judge, Soto's in that conversation. Pick who you want in there to join that. That's not knocking Lindor or Pete or Nimmo, but we've always said that the Mets' best players were not on par with the top, top stars in the game. Even though their numbers might be producing to a certain level.
Yep, yep.
To me, they were always missing that superstar player.
Remember when Tommy Pham said what he said about that clubhouse and the approach that the Mets had before when he walked out the door?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I mean, because not many of the players Soto's been brought in, a couple of pitchers obviously different, but again, the core of the team is still the same.
Yeah.
And that's coming from, for those, I don't have the exact quote, but it was like, basically like they were unprofessional,
the
right?
Yeah,
like
the
work ethic was weak, and it was pretty much, they just weren't dialed in, they weren't locked in, it was kind of optional, like just, you know, being, he didn't think that they were a very professional outfit. And what's really changed since then? Well, the results, last year's run aside, which you can't really push aside because it happened, but, you know, they didn't win 95 games in the regular season. They had a brutal regular season this year. Was he wrong?
No.
And if he was right, I mean, what else do you need to hear to just change it once and for all, which is where I'm from? And that, like, it's our job to identify what we would do. And again, there's more days for these macro discussions. It's Stearns' job to find out who wants Nimmo, who might want Lindor, what you could do here, how much, like, the Marlins ate $10 million on the back end of Stanton's contract to get the Yankees to bite. Well, maybe, and Cohen would do it, you would imagine, because they bought a minor league system. It's on Stearns to figure out what teams could do that with a Nimmo or a Lindor, because if they try to run it back, this team's never won a World Series. They're just not.
Last year, well, they could decide to say, well, we believe in our core, and we'll change certain things like McNeil's an easy out, move on from Vientos, whatever, run it back and just go get pitching. They could do that, or they could really change things. I would lean toward the latter myself, but think about it. 2022, they won 101 ball games, which was deemed a large success as far as regular season totals go. However, they blew the division, and when push came to shove with all the pressure in the world on the line just having to win one game, they failed to do so in Atlanta. That set them up for disaster in the postseason, which we saw. So 2022, even in a successful regular season, they failed by not winning the division and being quickly ousted in the postseason. The same, I'm talking about the group here, the core group. Alonso, McNeil, yep. Nimmo, Lindor. Then they missed the postseason in 2023. Then they had an awful start to the 2024 season, only to go on a run, an incredible run, that barely got them in the playoffs. On the second to last game of the year, they get into the playoffs, and then they went on a run. And then this year, adding Soto to that core, they missed the postseason 183 games. So this is not now a year or two. This is a large sample size. 2022, 2023, 2024, 2025. Of those 4 years, what do you think?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Hey, it's Boomer.
And Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.
Is, like, you can make your decision off of these 4 years. What do you want to believe in? You want to believe in the late run that they went on the second half of last year, or more that they choked away the division in 2022? They went out without a whimper in the postseason in 2022, missed the postseason in 2023 with high expectations.
Yep.
Last year started crappy, but went on an incredible, miraculous, fun run, and this year missed the postseason. Like, there's more bad than good. Overall,
no question. We're on the same page with that. So yeah. I don't know where the owner is, but I know where I am. I know where you are. I think that that's the right answer. And I also said to start the show, Met fans, you have to hate this team. Like that, there's two different things. Like processing a brutal end to the season, that just hurts. Like that from a fan's perspective, that just hurts. That's hurt that we've all fell for all the different teams we root for. It's pretty rare that a team that you loved the year before, you probably now despise or loathe on many levels. I think that the Met fan has turned on this group, and I think that they're done with this group.
Joe is in Massapequa Park. What's up, Joe?
Hey, Joe.
Hey, BNC and Evan. Good morning, BNC and Sal. How are you?
What's up? What's up, Joe?
Good. Listen. I know it's easy to blame Mendoza, and listen, I could count 10 games on my hand that he lost all by himself, especially bringing that piece of, you know what, static into the game yesterday. But this team needs stability. You cannot let Mendoza go. They have to keep him. You got to show players that this team is not willing just to change managers after 2-3 years like the Giants did. That's my first point. Guys, my second point. Cohen needs to do two things this offseason. The Mets did not make the playoffs because of their pitching. We can say about what we want about errors and not being athletic. Their pitching stunk. This team has no ace. You look at all the teams that are in the postseason right now, they have an ace. Okay, the Mets need a legit guy who can stop losing streaks, who can go out there for a game one.
Now who's the Blue Jays ace?
They have Bassett. They have they have a couple of guys there.
Who's the ace? You said everybody has an ace. The Blue Jays have the number one seed in the American League. Who's their ace?
It's not Bassett. He's not an ace. So you can,
no, he might be their best pitcher. He's not an ace. So it's not
he's better with the Mets have.
Well, I don't know about that. I don't even know if he's better than McClain, but he's a solid pitcher. The point is, you can win without having an ace. Like, I get what you're saying. You can win without having an ace.
And guys, another point, I want to see this one player. They have to go after this player hard, and that's Freddie Peralta, guys. I think he's a free agent at the end of the season.
They had a big year.
He had a big year, and he is a legit starting pitcher. And they need to lengthen this lineup. The lineup 1 through 4, very top heavy.
That's too top
after
heavy.
Those four guys.
Yeah. Yep.
After those four guys, it was nothing.
Yeah. Anything else?
Automatic out.
So pitching lineup. What else we need, Joe? New manager. Right.
A couple of bullpen arms.
Maybe a new pitching coach, maybe.
Here's the other thing. Most
of hot dogs.
Yeah. Well,
and thanks for the call there, Joe. The other thing too is, if I'm not mistaken, all these pitchers that the Mets brought in, their contracts are up, right? In terms of the relief pitchers.
Yeah, but that's
right?
fine.
Like, I think Soto might have an extra year, but everybody else...
Yeah, I want him gone, too.
I don't blame you, but Raley, you're going to have to
Raley,
even...
I think Raley's under contract. I'm
really is.
Yeah, I'm fine with rebuilding a bullpen. Here's the difference, though. What you and I, however we would do it, it really doesn't matter. We could give our opinion on what we would do, and I would be okay rebuilding a bullpen. What matters is going to be, what is David Stearns going to do? Like, he could have a theory. His theory was fine. Didn't work great in year one. It was fine in year one. In year two, it was a disaster as far as the way he approached the entire staff, not just the starting rotation. So what's he going to, is he going to change? Is Cohen going to force change? How much imprint is Stearns going to have? Is this team going to be better defensive team, better running the bases? Like, that's what I want to see. I don't want to see one move or two move. Like, I need to see an entire change.
Yes, they're too unathletic. I mean, Pete at first is not a great athlete. Vientos is slow as dirt at third. I mean, Nimmo's not a burst in left. I mean, McNeil playing center, what he did, not optimal, not an athlete at second base either. They've got to get much quicker. There's no doubt. Right, Soto's an average athlete.
But also,
right?
Also on the bases, like, yes, you mentioned those guys defensively.
Yep.
Okay, well, great. Pete leads the world in doubles with 40 doubles. Well, how come a base hit can't score him from second? Like, and I'm not just picking on him.
No, Nimmo, we saw it a few times.
You can't keep going stays in the station. So all those guys who lack that defensively, that also plays on the base pass.
I agree with that. Now, you say it's on Stearns. This could be dangerous. It definitely is on Stearns, but because I say dangerous, be careful what you ask for. I believe that the onus on some level is on Cohen to very clearly communicate to Stearns, hey, listen, I know what I hired you to do, and I know your philosophy. You've got to tweak that a little bit here. This is New York City. I've got some bank. I've got more bank than anybody. Whatever you thought you did, whatever you did so far, do that and then do more. You have to spend money. You have to get more creative. You've got to think bigger. So basically, what I'm telling is, like, Cohen's got to tell him, stop with the bargain basement bin and go out there and get some studs at the top of the rotation.
Right, meaning instead of Manaea and Montas,
and a converted Holmes. Who was good Saturday? Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm not trying to diss him. But yeah, you've got to overhaul that approach. We stop nickel and diming. This is not Pittsburgh. This is not Baltimore. This is the Mets. I own them.
But they do.
We got some players. Get me some real arms.
But they do have the highest payroll.
I'm talking about arms, though. Yeah. No, I'm not complaining about overall. Right, they definitely spend money. You gotta. And I be honest with you, dude. I was a little bit more with you because you said a while ago that you changed your philosophy with what you devote to the top of the rotation of resources. And I'm like, you know, the game has changed a lot. Guys don't go deep anymore and more dependent on the book. You presented a pretty sound arc. You did. But then I watch this, and I'm like, yeah, but there's got to be a middle road.
Exactly. There is a difference.
Like, Toronto's the outlier without a stud. I mean, the Yankees have a few. Crochet and the Red Sox. I mean, you know, the Dodgers have a couple of high-level arms. Generally, the Tigers have Scooble. Well, there's some studs out there that are pitcher in the postseason.
Maybe at least one. I'm just saying that I wouldn't make it a habit of going to give big contracts to multiple pitchers. But there's a difference between that and spending $17 million on Frankie Montas and, you know, the other moves that they did as well.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Hey, it's Boomer
and Geo.
Boomer and Geo is both a radio show and a podcast. You can find us anytime on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your pods.
Catch the full episode, listen by individual hour, or jump straight to the highlights. Just open up your favorite podcast app, search Boomer and Geo, and hit the follow button to get every minute of the show your way and on your time.